has arrived. Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
We're created to build community, created to build the kingdom of God.
There is a power when we step into our role as sons and daughters.
The kingdom of God has not moved forward by good conduct. It's moved forward by good belief.
If you want people to be creative, you got to give them permission to really explore.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We are coming to you from the City of Hope, Joplin, Missouri, home of Next Gen Worship, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. It is December 11th, and that means we are officially 12 days from Christmas.
Sorry, it just sounded like a holy moment.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
I even thought there were angels in the room just now.
Yeah. It's Christmas season. It's my angelic beauty.
Yes, it is. You glow like an angel.
Okay, 12 days of Christmas.
Jace.
What's your favorite of the 12 in the song?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on. I like the nine ladies dancing.
The nine ladies dancing.
Nice.
Or the eight maids a milking.
Okay.
I want to know why the maids go from milking to then dancing and where the extra lady came from and why she wasn't working
the day before. What exactly is in that milk anyway?
It's eggnog.
Oh,
That's why they started dancing.
I think the maids and the ladies are two different sets.
Oh.
I don't think the maids just started dancing after.
After they did their milking chores?
Yeah.
That's a little sad. Now I feel sorry for those maids. They're stuck out there milking while the ladies get to dance. Bunch of jerks.
It's a really old song.
Is it?
1780. So,
really?
Yeah, we're talking about a different culture.
Oh.
Totally.
So it was originally like a canon, not even set to music, right?
Yeah.
Like people would quote it. It was during Christmas.
Yeah, it was a
really
18th century rap.
I didn't know any of that.
Kind of a Roman Catholic canon. And it symbolizes different things, which we found to be kind of a little bit off.
Yeah.
As we were investigating. I did some investigation. Did some hardcore research on this.
Some 18th century theology happening there.
Well, clearly it was written by a man. That's why the maids are doing the milking.
Right, right. Well, the partridge in a pear tree symbolizes Jesus who died on a tree as a gift from God.
Yeah.
Two turtle doves are the Old and New Testament. Three French hens symbolized faith, hope, and love. Four calling birds were the four gospels. Five golden rings were the first five books of the Bible, known as the Pentateuch.
Five golden rings.
Boom, boom, boom. And six geese a-laying were the 6 days of creation. Seven swans a-swimming. Seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. That was the one we couldn't quite figure out.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot more gifts than but seven.
Maybe they only liked seven of the nine.
At least they're like, hey, there is some gifts available, folks.
That's true. Hey.
Hey.
And then we've got eight maids of milking, eight beatitudes, nine ladies dancing, Haley's favorite, nine fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
10 lords of leaping, the 10 commandments, 11 pipers piping, the 11 faithful disciples, and 12 drummers drumming were the 12 points of the Apostles' Creed.
Wow. Huh. So see, now everyone can sing that song and find satisfaction in their soul about doing it.
Yeah. Everybody knows that song, I think. That's really a traditional.
My favorite versions are the funny mock versions.
Oh, what?
Where they're putting up their lights.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
You know, the one where they're stringing up the lights and they're trying to untangle the lights and the mother-in-law's coming and...
You know this, Clint?
You're
familiar?
No,
I'm not familiar.
I'm
not either. Maybe I should listen to the radio.
I'm not making it up.
More often.
Maybe we should drink some more eggnog.
True.
Now, as the colder weather approaches, you can probably hear it in my voice. We're experiencing some weather-related health issues going on here. Excuse me. So bear with us as we get through this show. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we're going to be sitting down with Ray Hughes and talking about the marriage of worship and creativity. Excited to have him on the program once again. And next week, we're going to start a two-show 2016 highlights next week and the week following of just kind of some of the great clips we've had throughout the year from different interviews that we've had.
We talked to some great people and found some people that had like hearts and heard Holy Spirit saying the same thing through a lot of different people. It's super cool to listen to these highlights all together because it's like, man, you really hear God talking.
So we're starting that two-show series next week. Today we're talking about the marriage of worship and creativity, and we'll be discussing that when we come back.
One of the things that we're doing at Next Gen Worship is stewarding what God is saying and doing in our midst. we have been experiencing an amazing movement of Holy Spirit in community and worship for a couple of years now. One of the ways that we're stewarding this movement well is through the Next Gen Worship Collective. The Next Gen Worship Collective is a record label that we have started to influence the Midwest through a new sound that God's releasing in the earth. So much new talent, music, and heartfelt expressions of worship are occurring in our region that we created this label solely to help steward that as a voice in the earth. We believe that we can capture encounters of Holy Spirit through worship, through media. We're sitting here in our brand new studio. It's nearly complete, but we need your help to take one final big step towards completion. We have had a custom heating and air system designed specifically for this studio. The cost is about $4,650, and we need your help. We'd like to ask you to partner with us to cross this one last hurdle towards creating a voice from the Midwest of worship. Your contribution will help us to empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
To donate, please go to nextgenworship.com/donate.
The Next Gen. You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to start some highlights of 2016. We've done some really great interviews over the course of the past year, and we're going to revisit some of those interviews and some of the great content that we've shared with like hearts all over the nation.
Can't wait.
Doing that next week and the following week. We couldn't get them all in one show.
So we're going to just end the year in a bang here and just hear from all these people. So good.
Today, we're talking about the marriage between worship and creativity. A little later in the show, we're going to talk to Ray Hughes. And let's just dive into that topic a little bit, Clint, and talk about what is the marriage of worship and creativity.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're worship leaders, and we're, you know, in a community that we're cultivating worship and creativity. And the reason that I wanted to have this discussion is, number one, Ray carries this as a very powerful revelation. You know, worship is really accepted now, and you've got worship bands in almost every church where, you know, it was really hard to get, you know, contemporary instruments. It used to be, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Now it's really exploded. I mean, even in the Methodist church I grew up in, where they only had an organ for however long they did that, but now they've got a worship band. And so, you know, we've really seen a progression of worship kind of coming in as a style of music. But we want to actually now go a step further with this, because when we talk about worship and creativity, to me, I think we're talking about a marriage between those two that can result in transformation. And the reason is that God is a creator, and He has created us to create. And when we think about worship, or we think about music, we're not just thinking, well, we're going to play a song, or we're going to lead a song service. There's some old language for you. But we are actually going to partner with Holy Spirit to release the essence of heaven through creative expressions of worship. So now that can be music, that can be whatever you're gifted at doing, that can be your life. But when we allow Holy Spirit to release that creativity aspect, it opens up a whole new door, a whole new revelation of what's possible in the earth. If we're not creative, we're not being innovative. We're not pursuing anything. We're not doing anything that's going to change anyone or change anything. So creativity, so key in what God's doing in this generation.
Throughout history, I think you see a progression in the church with worship and creativity. Like, you know, we think of it as like the old timey stuff as more religious, but really, you know, in its day, things like stained glass was worship. That was art. It was creativity that was meant to glorify God. And I'm pretty sure that when they came up with the organs instead of just a vocal choir, that was pushing the line of creativity.
Yeah, and even stained glass was met with a little opposition.
So as time has marched on, we just keep getting more and more progressive in our expressions of creativity. Now, you know, we've figured out there's no line really between secular and sacred, in that our whole life is worship, so that every creative expression that we have or are gifted in can be an expression of worship.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of the aspect that God creates things that can create. Mm. So his creation is perpetual, right? Yeah. So he shares his creation with us. He allows us to participate in the creation. So we're able to create as well. We're able to procreate, reproduce, even produce new things out of our own imaginations. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has partnered with us in that aspect. But the worship aspect of that is that all of the praise, all of the honor, all of the credit goes back to the one, mm-hmm. the one true God. So that we are only able to create because he is first the creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whenever worship is returned back to him through our creativity, then it allows this thing that we've produced to operate optimally.
Wow.
Even better, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I really like is that when we start to allow ourselves to be creative, we start to be awakened to who we really are. And that's one of the things that we've been talking about this a lot lately, Haley, is that one of the things that the enemy tries to do to you first is steal your voice, mm-hmm. you know, try to push that voice down, to keep you from, you know, a voice is a powerful thing. Even the Bible says, you know, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Hello. So I love creativity because creativity is a voice, and creativity can even carry authority. And we were talking about this earlier in the year. We had Uncharted that there is a link between creativity and authority. Even in the natural, you have automatic license when you create something. I own it. There is an inherent ownership. And when you start to be creative, you start to be awakened to who you really are on the inside, and you start to release that as a voice, man, there is an authority that comes into your life, and people are drawn to it. I'm drawn to it when I see somebody without fear, creatively expressing whatever it is that God is doing in their life. Where, I mean, it could be arts, but it could also be science. It could be architecture. It could be creative ways to do anything. We've talked about that. But I think that's a transformational point and moment in someone's life when creativity meets who they are, and God gets involved in that. Man, I think people awaken to who they are and finally start to go down a God path in their life of good things, of authority, of owning who they are and owning that expression.
I think it's so powerful because it speaks to our God DNA, because, you know, God was first the creator. That's why when we hear music, when we see other things that are creative, we connect with it on a heart level, and it speaks to us and we find beauty in it. That person's expression of the God creativity inside of them resonates with what's inside of us that God wants mm-hmm. to have blossom.
And it's almost the same emotional response that you have when you look at the beauty of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at majestic mountains or vast oceans, or when you're confronted with that, you're just overwhelmed mm-hmm. with awe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of feeling whenever we encounter excellent man-produced things as well.
Yeah.
And I think that the most tantalizing aspect of our creativity is it is worship.
Yeah.
That it pleases God the most whenever he sees us create, especially whenever we're doing it for him.
Yeah. I heard Ray Hughes talk about this before, but he makes a statement that we're to be innovators, not imitators.
Mm-hmm.
And that strikes me at my core, because I think that's a place we all have to kind of come to and go, you know, am I going to be an echo or a voice?
Yeah.
Am I going to innovate and blaze a new trail in the kingdom? Or am I just going to repeat something that someone else is doing? You know, am I going to be the authentic me or just a copycat of someone else? And it takes courage to be authentic. It takes courage to be, you know, an innovator and not just rely on, you know, a blueprint that someone else has used for success, you know, a decade ago or two or three decades ago. But man, what a way to live. When you become an innovator, when you become authentic and you start to do whatever comes out of you as the most authentic thing inside of you, you come alive.
Mm-hmm.
You come to life. I mean, we experience that songwriting and producing. We're like, we get an idea that just comes out of nowhere. It's like, oh, you get, I mean, just goosebumps all over, and just inside you feel like, just created something amazing. It's so fun.
And one of the really cool byproducts of that, creating authentically, is it completely removes you from competition.
Ah.
Yeah.
Love you're it. No longer in competition. When you're imitating other people, you're constantly stuck in this competitive mode. And whenever you just begin to create authentically out of your heart, then it removes you from that. Shoot. And now you're a contributor.
That's so good.
I think people should just be brave and ask the Lord, why am I here and what am I supposed to do creatively, you know? And then I believe 100% that Holy Spirit will speak to them. And then just be brave and do it.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're like asking yourself the same question over and over, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be doing? Hey, that's a great place to start. God, what do you want me to do? Ignore all the voices, ignore all the competition, ignore pop culture that says you need to be a certain way, and find out what you've been uniquely created to create.
That's interesting. Whenever you ask the Lord, not just what am I supposed to do, but what am I supposed to create?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it puts you into a place of not just serving, not just doing a task or accomplishing something, but you are now partnering. Mm-hmm. You are now becoming a partner with God in creating something. So let's take something simple. What if you were asked to help organize something in your church, say maybe an event or something like that? Well, you could just do the bare status quo and put together a little event and make it happen.
Yeah.
Or you could be creative and think, what is something we've never done? How can this affect other people? How can I inspire through this? Mm-hmm. How can I change lives and perspectives through this?
Yeah.
And then create a new way of doing this thing to where it actually has an impact.
Yeah. And when we are creative and we create like that, we are being transformed on the inside. We are becoming someone as we create.
That's so good. So you're going to hear a lot more of this language over the next couple of weeks. Next week, we're going to dive into kind of a highlight show of all the interviews and guests that we've had on our program over the past year throughout 2016. Next week and the week following, we're going to break that into two shows and revisit some of that really juicy content. So after the break, we're going to come back and talk with Ray Hughes a little bit more about marriage between worship and creativity.
Each generation has its own divine mandate from God, its own set of responsibilities to release truths and realities in the kingdom into the earth. And we at Next Gen Worship feel the responsibility to begin to steward and call out as a voice to an entire generation. We want to invite you to partner with us financially, prayer, and community. We encourage one-time donations as well as a partnership that creates a connection. Help us empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Your giving will help us travel to cities carrying the heart and message of the worship movement in our region. Continue to produce the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Establish our record label, the Next Gen Worship Collective. Create consumable media geared towards raising up and inspiring the sons and daughters of God that creation is longing for. Hold conferences that are focused on bringing people into a life-changing encounter with God, and much more. To partner with us, go to nextgenworship.com/partner.
The Next Gen. You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to dive into a two-part kind of 2016 highlight show. Actually, next week and the week after, we're breaking it up into two shows, revisiting some of the great moments that we've had on the broadcast over the past year. Today, we've been talking about the marriage of worship and creativity, and we're fortunate to have on the program with us today, Mr. Ray Hughes.
So Ray, love having you here with us, and so honored to be able to sit down with you and kind of pick your brain a little bit about some of these things that we've been talking about that is in our hearts. But I want to know what you love most about how God is using worship and creativity in the earth right now.
Well, when I love the way that worship and creativity have married in our generation. You know, worship has always been, and certainly creativity has always been. But typically, in generations past, they grab preferred expressions of creativity and try to limit them to their understanding of who God is. And they create these religious ideas around their personal preference. And because typically, also typically, that people preach their personal preference as if they're convictions of the Holy Spirit, and create environments or cultures for others to be limited in. And we have a God whose boundless grace and unlimited creativity is speaking something to this generation and giving options that we never saw coming. Because I always say that, you know, we're living in a generation where God will reveal himself in ways that no other generation has ever experienced. And for to know that that can only come out of the overflow of our worship, I think is important to get a hold of today. Because the overflow of worship, the presence of God in our life, releases purpose of God in our life, and we were purposed to be creative. And think about this, if we were created to worship and we're not worshipers of God, we forfeit the reason we exist. And we were created by the Creator to be creative. So if our worship is not actually creative worship, accessing new options and experiencing new revelations of God and the wonder of who He is and the mystery of who He is and the beauty of who He is, without limitations, we're not really experiencing God. We're not really experiencing real worship. I think that's why what excites me the most is people embracing that idea. And also to see how it is prophecy come true and prayer answered. I got a little thing on that I was looking at this morning, and a lot of us have heard this. Listen to this. That William Booth said this, and it's become circulated now, and it's kind of famous. But the chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, and heaven without hell. William Booth said that. And we can all say, wow, he was far more prophetic than he thought he was. But let's jump back 100 years before him and listen to a prayer of John Wesley. I continue to dream. Wow. I continue to dream and pray about a revival of holiness in our day that moves forth in mission and creates authentic community in which each person can be unleashed through the empowerment of the Spirit to fulfill God's creational intention. Wow. Think about that now. One was a prophecy that was alerting the world of the negativity that was to come, and one was a prayer that would override it, you know. So that's the kind of stuff that excites me, is to see that God had these old pioneers and these folks that had encounter with Him set things in motion in the spirit realm that we get to enjoy today, you know.
Awesome. So I want to hear about, from your perspective, what is Holy Spirit saying to the earth right now through worship, you know, through your travels and through the different places you go? What do you hear Him saying about worship?
Well, worship is not an event. Worship is an eternal reality. And because it's eternal, we are living within the confines of our time and the seasons of our life. To know that God is reaching back and out of His redemptive nature and redeeming things out of this almost a sense of timelessness. But yet, when we look at the things of 700 years ago, 800 years ago, even things that are 1,000 years ago that He set in motion because He set His grace and favor in motion that would carry a particular expression of His nature for the future generations, now to see us being able to reach back and touch some of those, that's an exciting thing to me. And what that does is that fulfills, on many levels, it fulfills the promises that God will restore and redeem and things that have been lost over generations. And the man's reactions to His presence that set negativity and darkness in order. But now as a generation responds to His presence, He even reaches back and redeems fourth and fifth generation sin and iniquity stuff, and seven generations back, and all the brokenness and the covenants broken and woundedness and all those things that were on lands and people groups. Now there's something about the redeeming of bloodlines that's happening. It's not just around some another form of prayer counseling to get people in a place where they can deal with their stuff and cope with their junk. It really is something about the redemptive nature of God that's eternal, and it goes both ways, and it's being born out of encountering Him. And in our encounters with Him, all that other stuff is wiped away, and it's lost instead of we being lost. And it's lost in the blood, because the blood's being applied as we're in His presence. And the glory is His light. You know, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. So when He reveals His nature in our lives, it reaches back in that and to that darkness, those dark generations even, and redeems. So, you know, it's just the wonder and the timelessness of God is being demonstrated, I think, in a way that I guess it's always been, but to get to be alive in a time and experience some of it's pretty wonderful, you know.
So one thing I really, really wanted to ask you is maybe about some of your dreams. Like, what is it about worship that you're dreaming about? Like, if people could get it, like whatever it is, what are you dreaming about as far as what's possible in the earth through worship?
I think it ties to that. You know, to sing unto the Lord a new song. New is the word kadash, which means to rebuild and renew and repair and restore. So I think there's something over the generations that have been lost around religious rhetoric and religious personal preference again. But I think there's something coming in the worship realm that the glory of God is so real in the moment, and is so real in the midst of His people, that He's so exalted and so glorified or lightified that there becomes atmospheres where people no longer have the ability to resist Him. And we see historically that that's happened numerous times in biblical days. I mean, it happened. And those Bible stories are not Bible stories, they're promises. And so if we could see those promises start to become an ongoing experiential reality where people are worshiping Him and encountering Him in such a way that who knows who's having the encounter. The whole place is filled with His glory, and He's renewing, restoring, and rebuilding lives and bloodlines and reconciling pasts and awakening futures. You know, that to me is the glory of God, because He's such an eternal God, and He's not trapped in our understanding of time. And so my dream is encounters to the degree that people walk out of those services but don't walk out of his presence. And because they have encountered God, they carry encounters now. Because they've had those defining moments in His presence, they carry His presence as defining moments in other people's lives. Because worship really is about God revealing Himself in such a way that He can harvest the nations and reconcile lost humanity unto Himself. And so to me, that's what, if we want to call it a worship movement or a whatever, that's what the worship movement ought to be about, is the moving of what takes place in worship. Walk in that, move in that, live in that, breathe in that in such a way that God can do it wherever His presence is and acknowledged within us. So, if I was going to dream the ultimate dream, it would be, and I don't think it's going to come out of some religious utopian society, culture, or community. It's going to come out of just regular people having real interaction with a real God and carrying that. I mean, that when you look historically at some of the old guys that shaped nations and shifted humanity out of darkness into light, that's the kind of stuff they were carrying. And there were a lot of times they were just some guy on a horse that had just rode a half a day with the presence of God so strong in their life that when they spoke, it set word and life in motion, you know. And so they'd, you know, ride 20 miles and get off of a horse and preach and the whole world change, you know. That's the dream I dream.
Yeah, that's so good, so powerful. And Ray, we just honor you for sharing your heart and your life with us and giving us your time. What you carry in this earth right now is so powerful and so fresh and so prophetic. So we honor you for that and really thank you for being with us today.
So good to have Ray Hughes on the program with us. We hope to visit with him again in the near future. Next week, we're going to start our two-show 2016 highlights, all the wonderful moments that we've had over the course of the past year on the Next Gen Worship broadcast. I hope you join us then to hear what's on the Father's heart for our generation and the generations to come.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship broadcast.